Hello, I'm Rebecca Nesbitt, and I'm here to share my experiences of a Voice of Young Science media workshop organised by Sense About Science and hosted by the Society of Biology. As press officer for the Society of Biology, I often organise interviews with scientists and put out press releases for journalists talking about the latest scientific research. I'm always pleased to have journalists get in touch asking to speak with a scientist or to hear from a scientist who has research they believe the media will want to hear about. The Voice of Young Science workshop is an ideal opportunity for researchers to find out exactly what journalists want from them and how they can make the most of their experiences with the media. Here I have one of the panellists, Gia Aradorta, and a few weeks ago it was a nice surprise to wake up to Radio 4 and hear Gia talking about the crops at Rothamsted Research. Gia, how did you suddenly come to end up on Radio 4?
Well, there was a protest planned against our GMB trial at Rothamsted, and my press officer called me and said, Radio 4 want someone to speak tomorrow, can you do it? And I have to say I was very worried, but I said yes. And I think the key thing with these things is that you need to practice and you need to think through what you're going to say and how you want to get your message across. And I was very worried, very nervous, but actually after I did the interview, I was very pleased. It went very well, and I was happy that I was able to talk about the science in a way that other people could understand.
And what advice do you have for scientists who might be thinking about doing their first interviews with journalists?
Just think about it as if you're explaining it to a friend or to family, because people are interested in what we do. People are curious by nature. If you think something is interesting and you present it in a way that is engaging, then people will want to hear what you have to say. And you are an expert, you have something to promote, to deliver, and don't be afraid to do it. Just go ahead, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
In the following session, we heard from three journalists talking about what they need from scientists.
My name is Jason Palmer. I write for the BBC News website and do a little bit of radio domestically and internationally and a tiny bit of television. Probably one of the biggest problems is that young researchers, well, researchers of any age, imagine the relationship between the media and science as an adversarial one, as an antagonistic one. These kinds of meetings always point out, always kind of remind us that it is a very collaborative effort. It is very much the scientists make good stories, we want to tell good stories to our audiences, and nobody's looking to get it wrong. Nobody specifically wants to misrepresent the research. The important thing is that we keep a healthy interplay, because the stories will keep coming and we will always want them. I think one of the most important things for young researchers to keep in mind is that the research will go on for months or years, and then the sort of media interest will come and go in a flash. It'll be like an instant. But there is quite a bit that can be done in advance, certainly in terms of always knowing how to get across what you're doing and why it's important in just a few seconds, a few sentences. The phone will eventually ring, and the important thing for us from a pragmatic point of view is availability. We would very much like to speak to you, but if you can't, if you don't, if you sort of put us off for, sometimes a day, sometimes as little as half an hour, we might not come back to you. So if you can't talk, okay. If you can in an hour, say so. Another tremendously important thing is to be clear about what your research means, and just as much what it doesn't mean, because a lot of where this relationship breaks down is where things are said, where a study is simply misrepresented. So if you think about how something might be misinterpreted, think ahead. Take that time during the publication process, before that phone ever rings, and understand what people, the general public, the journalists themselves, will want to know, and be ready for those questions, and be in particular ready for saying, my research did not say this, if you're sure there could be a misinterpretation there.
I also spoke to Claire, a features journalist who often asks scientists for expert opinions.
My name's Claire Coleman. I'm a freelance journalist. I don't write exclusively about science. But I tend to come across science when I'm writing about beauty stories. I write about the science behind the beauty industry, and some of the science involved with health stories as well. I, in recent weeks, kind of looked into things like where the sheep placenta for Posh Spice's placenta facial came from, the dangers of juice fasting, and the implications of the potential dangers of DHA in fake tan. When I'm writing stories and when I'm thinking about what stories are going to be my kind of thing, I think about it from the view of my readers and what they're going to be interested in. I also like to think that the stories that I write are going to appeal to both of my parents. My dad's a NASA scientist and my mum's an actress. And so when I'm writing about the science behind a new cream, I'd like to think that my dad will be interested in reading it because it's well-reported, cutting-edge science. And my mum's going to be interested in reading it because she wants to know how to get rid of the wrinkles underneath her eyes. When I'm looking to speak to scientists, it doesn't bother me if they're early career scientists. I'm really happy to talk to people who are just starting out. What's really interesting for me is hearing their perspectives on things. And very often they know far more about something than I do, and they're in a better position than I am to interpret papers that I've looked at. Sometimes it's really useful to talk to people just from the perspective of rounding my own knowledge and finding out more sort of generically about a story. Sometimes when I want to quote people, it becomes more problematic, because very often people are unhappy about being seen to give themselves an authority that they feel they don't have. That's not always a superable problem, but equally that's not a reason for me not to speak to someone who's not a professor or anything like that.
I'm now speaking to Richard van Noorden, who's assistant news editor for Nature. In his panel session, he was talking about how busy a journalist's life is. And typically a newspaper science editor will write about 3 or 4 stories a day. He only does 1 story, but still has an extremely busy time. Richard, what waits for you when you turn your computer on in the morning?
Tens of RSS feeds, press releases, embargo press releases, which is about work that's going to come out in the future and which you agree not to write about until a certain date. Perhaps you've been to a conference and you've got emails from other scientists as well. You put that all together into the morning news meeting at which you decide what makes a story and what doesn't. Can you tell it in 2 or 3 sentences? What's the hook? Then you've got all these stories to write, perhaps for the afternoon or perhaps for the next day. So you're under a lot of time pressure. And the ideal is to be able to ring up the scientist immediately. They'll immediately know who you are. They'll probably ask your deadline and the story you're working for. Maybe they'll talk to you off record to explain the background, and then they'll come back to you on record. They'll know what they're going to say, and you're done. Unfortunately, it never really actually happens like that. Scientists aren't sure about their key messages. Maybe they can't explain their research very well at a level that is going to be intelligible to readers of your outlet. Maybe they're not available, or they don't know who is the best person to talk to. So that's why journalists often end up talking to the same scientist, very reliable, will always be on message and be able to talk to them intelligibly about the science and admit when something has gone beyond what they can say. The same sort of time issue comes when we're talking about, do you get to see copy? Do you get to see the headlines? No, you don't get to see the copy or the headlines. All the work moves too quickly for that. In any case, imagine a politician asking if he could see the copy of an article that had been written. Scientists don't get to do that either, and journalists should be critical of scientists just as much as they're critical of any other walk of life.
The final session considered how scientists can go about getting their work into the media. The best start is to speak to a press officer, and if you don't know who they are, you can look at your university's website. Or if you're a member of a learned society like the Society of Biology, then their press officer will be very pleased to hear from you. Press officer will be able to let you know whether your work is suitable for a press release. They can then write the press release for you and send it out to the journalists. If a journalist then wants to interview, the press officer will arrange that and give you the support you need. If you'd like any advice or would like them to sit in on an interview with you, they'll be very happy to do that. They can also advise you when you have a story which isn't actually suitable for a press release, but better suited for social media. For more information on how to work with the press officer, I spoke to Lucy from the Society for Applied Microbiology.
I'm Lucy Harper, the Communications Manager for the Society for Applied Microbiology. And as Communications Manager, I oversee all the communications activities of the Society. That includes policy work, it includes social media, it includes all of our press work. And so as a press officer, I will help our members, our scientists, to publicise the research that they're doing. I do that through helping to publicise their papers that they've had published. And also we have members come and speak at our conferences, and we publicise some of those conferences through press release. So my advice to scientists who'd like to publicise their research would be to talk to their press officer. Chances are that they are going to know the best way to publicise the research that they're doing. It could be that you've just had a paper accepted, and if you have, it's useful to talk to your press officer and let them know so that they know of the imminent publication. It's too late to let them know once it's already been published, because then it's in the public domain. Press officers can also help with media inquiries, and that may not even be related to your work directly, but an area of science in which you know something about. If there's something topical come up in news, sometimes the media will be looking for comments or background information about a subject. And if you are called by a journalist to provide that information, and you're not 100% confident about providing that, you can say to the journalist, look, can I phone you back in 5 minutes? In which time you can talk to your press officer, explain the situation, and they'll be able to give you some advice about the best way to go about giving the appropriate comment. In terms of conferences, if you're presenting at a conference and you want to publicise your work, a press officer will help you again with the press release, and again involving all parties that need to be involved. And will also help with distributing publicity about the conference, about your presentation, not only through traditional media and press releases, but also through social media, so Twitter and Facebook and that kind of thing. Generally speaking, press officers are there to help you, to guide you, and to act as a support for you to publicise your research.
One of the delegates at the workshop is Elaine Jensen, a postdoc at Aberystwyth University. Elaine, you've had two experiences with the media, both with very little chance for preparation. What would you say you've learned from these experiences?
So the things I've learned from those experiences were certainly to know who it is you're speaking to and exactly what it is that they're after, and to very much plan what it is that you want to say. But also, certainly with the second, in both cases, I found that the questions they were asking me were not really that relevant, and what was important to get across, you couldn't really do that by answering the questions that they gave. And so by the end of the second interview, the reporter did say, it's fine if you just want to talk, if you just want to say what you want to say, that's fine. And so I realised that it's okay to do that, and obviously, again, it's very important to make sure you know what you want to say.
That's all from me, but thank you very much for listening. And if you have any questions, please get in touch. I'm Rebecca Nesbitt, and you can find my contact details on the Society of Biology website, or contact me on Twitter, where I'm at Rebecca Nesbitt, or at society_biology. And check out the Sense About Science website if you want any more details on the next Voice of Young Science workshop.